Good morning, everyone. Here's a word from the Lord. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Really believe the Holy Spirit speaking that this morning, that this is the time when we as God's people need to get rid of stuff and really set ourselves apart for Jesus. Amen? Yeah, amen. I pray that we would receive that from the Lord. October, actually half of September and half of October, not sure why it's set up that way, but is Hispanic Heritage Celebration Month, and we're going to feature some cool things coming up on the 5th, the 12th, and the 19th. And we're real excited because David Nui Nodal, David's father, was one of the first Pentecostal Hispanic pastors that came to Lorain. And many of the Hispanic churches that exist today are somewhere connected to that heritage, right, Nui? So we're going to celebrate that on the 19th. We have a special speaker planned, but we've got awesome music that's going to be coming and invading our space next Sunday. You're really going to enjoy that special music. And also, if you're interested in helping us to establish tables, Latin America, Mexico, and Puerto Rico, please see Nui right away. Nui, would you mind standing, please? I hate to impose on you, but so people see you. Please see her right away, and let's get those tables set up. But also on the 19th, I'd love to have some Spanish food. Woo! Wouldn't that be great? So, on the 19th, we're hoping that Latin America, Puerto Rico, and Mexico will be represented in the house, okay? And all the money will go to missions. I think it'll be an amazing celebration. So, that's on the 19th. Then, I have an announcement to make to all my fellow primetimers. Anybody in this room 55 years of age and older? Anybody in this room? Let me see your hand. I won't ask you to stand up. I won't ask you to stand up because some of you don't like standing up. Oh, they're going to stand up. Okay, they're standing up. Woo-hoo! Look at all of you. Yeah. All right, you can be seated. All right, listen up now. October 21st. The third Tuesday of every month, say third Tuesday. Now, you older, 55 and older folks, you need to write this down. Third Tuesday of every month, October 21st, there will be a catered luncheon here at the church and ministry time just for you. And it's free. I thought I'd get an amen or something out of it. I mean, you know, a free luncheon. Sturck's Catering is going to cater it. And we're going to have some special activities. And we're going to have a ministry time. It's going to be right here in the sanctuary. But you have to RSVP. And I only have room for like 50 people. No, I'm just kidding. I'll take as many as we get. But it's at noon on that day. Then on the 28th, we'll be taking a ride on a bus to go look at the leaves, so you need to sign up for that. And then on November 16th, another luncheon. Then we're going to do a party at Trish Bannis' house. Then in December, we're going to rent a bus and go look at the lights downtown in Cleveland. And then on the 9th, we're going to do our Christmas party at the Rose Cafe. What do you think? Okay, y'all are party animals. Okay. Listen, anytime it's free, you want to be there. So it won't cost anything. We want to sow into you. But here's our goal. My ultimate goal is to invade your life with the revival culture mentality that you move in signs and wonders in your last days. And not to think that God can't use you. He can use you. He will use you. And just like George and Carol were used in that prayer, you two stand up. George and Carol, just stand up. I won't make you say anything. But they went and prayed. They went and prayed and you were healed, right? Absolutely healed. So power of God moved through them. So all of us can be used in the things of God, right? Amen. Amen. Okay. Did you all give in the offering generously this morning? All right. Praise God. We need to take care of the house, right? I think that's everything I'm supposed to talk about. The October 3rd sunrise to sunset prayer is a serious call. It's a call to our nation. If we don't pray, the forces of evil will overtake America. I'm just going to tell you that right now. There is a strategy and a plan to invade your neighborhoods and to take over this nation. But for God's people. Amen? And so October 3rd, don't be sleeping in. You get here and pray, or pray at your house, and you fast, push away the plate for just 12 hours. We could do that, right? And see God work mightily in America. Will you join me on October 3rd? I pray that you will. Well, let's open our Bible up. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 9. It's about 10 minutes to 11. And I'll try to do this in a few minutes and share with you. There was an attack made, and they were wondering if there was any help in the land. Jabesh Gilead was under attack, and the Amorites said, look, you know, we won't kill you. What we want to do is we want to take out your right eye, and you submit to us, and we won't kill you. Now, I don't know about you, but to be enslaved and have your eye poked out, you know, not only humiliated and also intimidated, but really become subservient to this power. And they said, look, let us pray about this and we'll let you know tomorrow. They wondered if there was any help anywhere that could come and save them. And so in verse 9, we read this verse. And they said to the messengers who came, thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help. Then the messengers came and reported it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. In other words, there was a cry, and a deliverer heard their cry. And they intervened and turned back the enemy. That's really what we're talking about for prayer on October 3rd. If my people who are called by my name will hear the cry and answer the cry, help will come from the name of the Lord. And I believe our help is coming from the name of the Lord. Now, the Bible says the weapons are going to form against you. Isaiah 54:17 is exactly what it reads. But it says, no weapon formed against you. But notice, though, the weapon is formed. The weapon is formed, but no weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper. It's not going to have its impact. It's like clouds without rain. The clouds are going to form, but no showers. You're going to see evil. You're going to see these oppressing things happening around your life. But they are not going to prosper against you. And when you begin to think about that, you have to ask the question, why? Well, it's because it's your heritage. It's your birthright. Opposition is going to form, but it's not going to defeat you. Here's what God does when opposition comes. He uses it to promote you. Oh, I believe in America right now. All this opposition, all of these inroads of terrorism and fear and uncertainty and instability and all of these Islamic terrorist threats of how they're going to do this and that. And even in Moore, Oklahoma, as a woman who went to work that morning was beheaded by a Muslim. That happened this week. But here, listen to me. By the time the sun gets hot, If you'll cry out, if you'll look to God, if you'll begin to see that your heritage is that what the devil meant for evil, God will turn for good. What the devil meant to destroy you, God will use to promote you. And I believe the very thing that's happening in America today is going to be used by God to send a third awakening, and the churches will be so full with people who are repenting, turning back to God, and hungering for God. Why? Because the heavens are opening and heaven is invading the earth. Amen. Thank God for the testimony of Anastasia today. Thank you, sweetie. Thank God for your testimony. I forget your first name. Not Margaret. You're Margaret. You're Margaret. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, your grandma. Okay. Margaret's testimony. Because these are going to become normal and frequent and expected and just common. Why? Because we believe that what that enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn for good. You know, 1 Samuel 11:1, the enemy wanted to put their right eyes out. And I looked at that and I thought, well, Lord, you know, that's really cutting off vision. That's interrupting vision. That's interrupting spirit sight. And the enemy wants to cut off and blur our spiritual vision so that we can't see in the spirit. He knows that if he can remove spiritual sensory, then we are controllable. But you see, when you and I are locked on to what we know God can do and what God is doing, then all the things around us become very insignificant, because we know that by the time the sun gets hot, we're going to have help. And my help comes from the name of the Lord. Listen to Psalm 34:3. David said it like this. Matter of fact, why don't we read it together? Come on. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. David said, I got to have some help. I need to find somebody who will magnify the Lord with me. You can always find someone who will magnify the problem with you. Isn't that the truth? Oh, you don't even have to look for them. They'll join right in your little pity party. But David said, oh, make bigger, increase my vision of the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. You know, in impossible situations, you always got to look for that one person who said, I believe God can do that. I believe God is for us. I don't believe God is against us. I believe we can do this. I believe all things work together for good. So let's just magnify the Lord together right here. It might happen in a hospital room. It may happen in your kitchen table. It might happen at church. It might happen at McDonald's while you're getting a cup of coffee. But if you need somebody to magnify the Lord with you, if you can find somebody, you can have church right there. Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It's so powerful. Now you think about the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan. Boy, I tell you, that land is just like you said, God, but there's giants in the land. 10 of them were convinced that it would be impossible to occupy and conquer that land. If you look at Numbers chapter 12 and verse 28, you'll see a keen insight into this story. Do you have that scripture? 13:28, yeah. He said, nevertheless, you know, God, you said it's just the way you said it was, but nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Cities are fortified. They're large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And they didn't even have to ask for anybody to magnify that report. 2 million people said, amen. We believe that's the way it is. But there was a man by the name of Caleb who said he was a different spirit. He had a different spirit than the generation in which he was raised. See, the reason why they concluded this is because of verse 33 in the same chapter. If you look at that, there we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like, come on, read it with me. We were like, stop. We were like, one more time. We were like, so what were they magnifying? They were magnifying the grasshopper mentality. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. Now notice the conjunctive word and. Come on, let's read the rest of it. And. I'm concluding this morning that they were not seen as grasshoppers in the sight of the giants until they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Because when they saw themselves as a grasshopper, that's when the enemy saw them the way they see themselves. How many know that the enemy will see you the way you see yourself? That's why David said, come on, let us magnify the Lord together. We need to bless the Lord now. We need to begin to declare that we are the head and not the tail. That we are the blessed of God. That no weapon formed against us will prosper. The enemy didn't see him that way until they saw themselves that way. Thank you. Joshua found Caleb. I can imagine among all those people and all the unrest, 2 million Hebrews just came out of Egypt. The report, people began to cry out, we're going to die. We can't go do this. There's no way. It's impossible. And Joshua, I can imagine, he's beginning to panic and he's running around hearing that Caleb said, we can do this. And he thought, I just got to find Caleb. Caleb started looking for Joshua. And in the middle of all that negativity, in the middle of all of those bad reports, Joshua found Caleb, and Caleb found Joshua. And the two of them together said, let us magnify the Lord. Let us believe that God can do exactly what He said we will do in spite of everybody else's opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to save America. God wants to save the nations of the earth. God wants to redeem mankind. God loves all people in the earth. And in spite of all of the negativity and those around you that are declaring it is over, let me tell you something. You need to find a Joshua. You need to find a Caleb. You need to get with somebody that'll say, let us magnify the Lord together. He will bring us into the land. Numbers 14, 24. He will bring us into the land. He will give it to us. And then God says this about Caleb. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Whew. Now, I just wanted you to know all those other 2 million people were going to have to hang out until it was their day. They were going to die in the wilderness. They never entered into the promises of God. And so today, you and I, we have got to begin to magnify the Lord. We need to begin to see the glass half full. Stop complaining about it being half empty. You can't look at what God hasn't done. You need to begin focus on what God has done. You know, a lot of people will say to me, well, yeah, that's great about Anastasia. Praise God for her. But my daughter or my son or my relative or my neighbor or my this person here, they didn't get healed. Listen, can't explain that. I don't understand that. But I know one thing. Oh, come, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us thank God what He's done for Anastasia. Let's believe that God will do it for her. He'll do it for someone else. Let's not get our minds in the gutter. Let's not get our minds on the giants. Let's believe that God be for you. Who could be against you? Psalm 69:30 said it like this. To magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. You know what that means? That means before you see the answer, you begin to thank Him for it. You start walking around saying, God, I just want to thank you for taking this 21-pound tumor out of my body. God, I just want to thank you for healing me of all of these septic diseases. I just want to thank you, God, for healing my heart. I just want to give you praise right now for giving me that new job, God. I just thank you, Lord, that you are about to work in my family. Can I find somebody to magnify the Lord with me? Somebody to give thanks with me to God that He's about to turn this thing around. I just need to find somebody that will praise God with me. You see what I'm talking about? Come on, look over at somebody and say, will you praise Him with me? Will you praise Him with me? I love this in Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. You know, the Holy Spirit visited Mary. He said, blessed art thou among women. You're about to have a baby, child. Says, I don't even know a man. God said, you know what? Don't need one. You know, that tells a lot. That tells me a lot about God. Sometimes you think you need somebody else to help you. You don't need anybody. All you need is Jesus. Amen. He said, you don't need no man. You've got me. When you've got God, you've got it all. Amen. Come on, look at somebody and say, when you got God, you got it all. Oh, Lord, watch this, watch this. This is powerful. And she says in verse 46, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. You know, I like that. We used to sing that song. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For He who is mighty hath done great things, and holy is His name. Then we get that swing beat in there. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify. You got to get your shoulders going. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Yeah. Yeah. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. She sang that song before she felt any life in her womb. She sang that song after He said, you're going to give birth to a baby. She went over to Elizabeth to tell her what happened. And when she showed up in Elizabeth's presence, she was already 6 months pregnant. I don't know much about being pregnant, but I've seen a few. I just want you to know that when you're 1 month pregnant, you're not even sure you are pregnant or if it was the pizza and the pickles the night before. But she showed up in the presence of Elizabeth and the baby leaped up inside Elizabeth's womb. Why? Because the baby knew that they had to magnify the Lord. You see, what's birthing in you has got to magnify the Lord. It's powerful. So she said, look, I don't even know that this is real, but my soul doth magnify the Lord. She started dancing the waltz with Jesus. You got to start magnifying God. Make Him bigger. Take His word and enlarge it. You need to look at the giant print Bible. You need to start looking at, that's a prophetic thing, you know. Giant print Bible. Make God's Word bigger so you can see it. The devil's trying to take out your right eye. The devil's trying to take away your spiritual vision. But you and I have got to see into the Spirit. You got to find somebody that agrees with you that God is able. Amen. You got to watch what you magnify in your life. You can't walk around magnifying cancer, magnifying debt, magnifying lack, magnifying weakness, magnifying rejection, magnifying hurt, magnifying pain, magnifying idiot people around your life. I mean, you can't, you don't give them no time of day. Don't magnify them. Minimize them. Make them little mini people in your life. Don't be magnetizing them. You know, when David was in the Valley of Elah and he was fighting Goliath, did you know that one time in that text of chapter 17, did he ever call him a giant? Isn't that powerful? He never called him and referred to him as a giant one time. He wouldn't magnify him. He wouldn't give him that kind of authority or that presence in his own, out of his own mouth. He refused to say, I got to beat up this giant. Whoa. No, he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. He minimized the giant. I mean, to David, that giant was probably 2.5 inches tall. He was mini me. He was a mini giant. He was a mini person. When David came out there, he thought, this is easy. I'm going to feed your flesh. He said, this day I will. Come on, lift your hands up with me and say, this day I will magnify the Lord. You see, you've got to get in your mind that I'm going to magnify the Lord in every situation, because I refuse to call anything that is not from God in my life. I refuse to acknowledge it. You know, a lot of people say, well, you're not being realistic. Sweetheart, I am not realistic, because to me, to magnify something that is not permanent or true is to minimize Jesus. With God, all things are possible. So if all things are possible, why do I want to magnify the problem when I know that it's only a matter of time if I endure? If I don't grow weary in well-doing, if I know that God is about to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, why am I going to try and make something bigger when I serve a God that is bigger than all situations and problems? So I've got to check myself. Listen to Philippians 1:28. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but you are going to be saved even by God Himself. Look at that one more time. That's the Living Translation, but listen to it. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed. When you've got confidence, when you magnify the Lord, like David, Goliath knew he was in trouble. He knew he was in trouble. Because David had no fear. David would not be intimidated by his enemy. And as a result of no intimidation, his enemy became fearful and destroyed. Sometimes you got to look the devil right in the eye and say, you know what? I'm about to crush your head. I know you came on my body and it's weak and I'm feeling this and that, but let me tell you something, devil. I'm about to spit in your eye. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah. It's like, what you gonna do about it? You know, that's what that scripture is saying. In Hebrews 10:39, it says, we don't belong to those who shrink back. I'm not part of the shrink back club. I don't go to first Assembly Shrink Back Church of Ohio. I don't go to Shrink Assembly. Shrink means to miniaturize, diminish, lessen, or reduce. I'm not going to shrink. Shrink? That doesn't even sound Christian. Shrink? Hold it down. Tone it down. Do you know what made David king? Goliath. Let me ask again. Do you know what made David the king of Israel? Goliath. What was Goliath? A giant. He opposed him. The thing that he was trying to kill him made him the king. When he walked around with the head of that thing, walking around with the sword, everybody's like, dude, that's the dude. We ought to make him king. Nobody else was, he's walking around with Goliath's head. Probably not an appropriate illustration in the times we live right now. But what made David king was Goliath. What will promote you is what's opposing you today. You got to go into that battle knowing that this too shall pass. And that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Lord, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when, and I don't know how You're going to arrange it. But I know that this is working on my behalf. Because You said all things work together. So God, work this thing together. And could You hurry it up? You ever felt like you needed God to hurry it? 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12 says we're going to reign with Him. We're going to reign with Christ, but we need to endure with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He'll also deny us. This is not a time for us to give up. It's not a time for us to deny Him. This is not a time for us to minimize Him, to shrink back. This is a time to endure. Endure hardship like a soldier. I know life's not easy. Neither was carrying that cross to Golgotha's hill. But I'm telling you right now that we endure, we're going to reign with Him. You're coming out on the other side and God's going to promote you. The very thing that the devil was going to use to try to destroy is going to make you a king. I mean, think about that. That's an awesome, powerful truth. I love that scripture in 2 Timothy 2 and 12. And I love the one in Exodus 1:12 as well. The Bible says the more they were afflicted, the more they grew. We're talking about Pharaoh and the oppression of Israel. The more they afflicted them, the stronger they got. They multiplied and they were in dread of the children of Israel. Don't allow oppressions. Don't allow trial, difficulty to get you depressed. You got to go find a Joshua. Go find a Caleb. Because all of the negative people will come to you without you even asking or inviting them. You've got to look for people who are going to encourage you in the Lord and magnify the Lord. Because it's a natural tendency for us to find depressed people when you're depressed. You don't like being around people that are joy-filled. But you need what you don't like. Well, I just don't feel like going to church right now. We've just been going through so much. We go sit at home. Sit at home and go, woe is me. I just can't even read my Bible. I'm so depressed. You better go find somebody like to praise the Lord with you and get a tambourine out and shout around your, dance around your window or something. And, you know, when you get in the car in the morning, they're like, hey, praise you, Jesus. I know they make you mad initially, but eventually they're going to lift up your spirit, right? You know you're on the wrong side when people that praise Him make you mad. Why they got to sing so loud? Why they got to do that? I don't understand that. You know you need it when you say that. Don't raise your hand if you've ever said that. You got to realize that I'm not staying in this place. This is only temporary. I'm coming out. I love this little saying. I don't know who made it up, but it's great. I'm not buried. I've just been planted. And I may have been covered over with a truckload of manure, and it stinks like high heaven in here, man. But let me tell you something. It's only a matter of time, and I'm coming out. Because that whole truckload of manure is nothing but fertilizer, and miracle grow is about to happen in my life. So don't begin to look at the negative. Find somebody that's going to help you praise the Lord. You got to get a proper confession and hold on to it. The proper perspective. I like Psalm 59, verse 10. Look at the scripture. In His unfailing love, my God will stand with me and He'll look down in triumph on all my enemies. You know why God looks down in triumph over all of our enemies? Because every enemy is under your feet. I wanted to give every person today a magic marker, but I couldn't afford to buy them all. But I wanted to give everybody a magic marker and take your shoe off at this moment of the sermon and write whatever the devil is trying to do to you and your family on the bottom of your foot. Trying to steal my children, or, you know, trying to take my job or put sickness on me, or just write it on there and then put it on. And every day, all day long, when you're walking around, you're like, sickness is underneath my feet. Sickness is underneath. Sickness is under me. Sickness is under my feet. You know, the Lord said He looks down in triumph over all of His enemies. And you and I need to do the very same thing. Never look eye to eye with your enemy. You ever see those boxers square off? You know, they're standing within an inch of each other. They're like kissing. And they're flexing. I'm not giving the devil no eye contact. I look at the top of his head. It's the only way I'm looking at him. He's under my feet. Don't make him an equal. You don't need to stare the devil down. He's already down. Keep him under your feet, right? Look down at the head of the enemy. Why? Look at Luke 10:19. I want everybody to read this scripture. I'm about to quit. Come on, Luke 10:19. Are you ready? You got to read it out like you're really excited. Ready? Come on, let's read it. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I like the word trample. I like the word trample. The King James says tread. Tread and trample. Do you understand the meaning of that name? So he said, I give you the authority to tread or to trample on the devil. The word tread means to trample, but it also means to leave a mark. In other words, when the devil encounters me, he's going to know he encountered me because God's given me power to trample. Show my little picture up there. He's going to know that I've been there. I leave a tread mark on the devil's head because God's given me authority to trample and to tread upon the devil. Do you follow what I'm saying? We've had it inverted. We walk away and we have the mark of the devil. And God's given us authority to tread on him. So look at somebody and say, leave your mark. Listen to this. A recent study of Alzheimer's patients. It's a massive study, and what science did is they studied the brains of those who had died with the disease of Alzheimer's. And they compared them to the brains of those who did not have any symptoms of Alzheimer's. They wanted to see what the difference is. And they found something that was quite startling. They found that many had lesions on their brains that technically would have qualified them to have Alzheimer's. But they found that when they were alive, they showed no signs of the disease. So that made them further study what the difference was from one person who had the lesions and no symptoms and others who had the legions and had the symptoms. And here's what they found. They found the common denominator was that the people who had the legions and no symptoms were living a life of positive outlook, always hopeful, and stayed productive. Those three qualifying characteristics stayed the effects of the legions forming. Now let me go back to the scripture in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed, no legion appearing in your brain will prosper. Why? Because you magnify the Lord and you look down at your enemy and you know that by the time the sun gets hot, God is going to send help to you. So you live a hopeful, productive, positive life. And so everything the devil throws at you has no impact and no effect. Whereas people who have no hope in God, who do not magnify the Lord, who do not understand that all authority has been given unto them and leave their mark on the devil, they not only get the legions, but they get the symptoms. I'm not saying God's not going to, the devil's not going to form a weapon against you, but I am saying this today, God will minimize the effect and the impact of that formation. And what the devil meant for evil. Let me read Genesis 50, and I think it's verse 20, but this is Joseph. He said this, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." Joseph said, "Look, you sold me, you betrayed me, you rejected me, you despised me, threw me in a pit, I went into a prison in the palace, and now I'm second in command. I'm here to save all of my family. You meant to destroy me, but God turned it around and he promoted me. And now I'm second in command of all of Egypt." You see, these things don't destroy a believer. They only promote believers. And I want to pray for you today to get the right mindset. And I want to pray for you today to get the right connections with people who will magnify the Lord. If King David knew the power of this, when he said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me," he said, "I've got to find somebody who will bless the Lord with me." That old song said, "Come on and bless the Lord with me." You know, I know all these songs, don't I? "Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord with me." You see, David said, if I could find somebody to bless the Lord with me, then I know the devil is defeated. One will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. So if you're here today and you're in a fight for your life, you're in an opposition that you think is insurmountable, I want you to think again. Because there are people here today and around you that want to magnify the Lord with you, and they're believing God with you, that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Come on, amen. Let's praise the Lord this morning, church. Hallelujah. Father, this morning, I just want to bless the people that are standing in faith today, and they're fighting a fight of faith. Oh, Lord, there's many of them in this room. I know there are. God, we can't believe the report of the world, the report of man. We believe the report of the Lord. We believe, God, that this is the time now to move closer to you, Jesus, than we ever have before. Hallelujah. While our heads are bowed, I'm just going to give that word out of Hebrews 12 again. That says to lay aside every sin that easily besets you or the entanglements of this world. And it's time now for the church to come into that intimate place with God, that we open up the heavens and let the glory of the Lord be seen on the earth. But it's going to come through your life. It's going to come through my life. We've got to make that choice. We've got to make that decision today to say, "Jesus, I'm going to give you all of me. I'm going to give you all of me. Because I am tired of minimizing you in my life. I'm going to make you big, Jesus. I'm going to make you big. Man, if that's your prayer, why don't you pray it right there just quietly before you and the Lord. And you don't have to raise a hand or stand or come to the front. And just, I want you to make that choice, make that decision. Jesus' name. I'll tell you two quick stories and then I'll close. The Lord's really kind of showing us that there's an urgent call to the church. That we've got to begin to magnify the Lord. We've got to make Jesus bigger. And the other day, I'll just tell this real quick. I'll just tell last night's. We were celebrating my son's birthday and came out of the restaurant, Carrabba's. And within 25 feet of the door was a Muslim man praying right on the sidewalk. I mean, people were trying to walk by, but he didn't care. He was on the ground, on the sidewalk. I thought at first when I saw him that he was hurt. I was ready to go over there and say, "Are you okay?" But then I noticed in his prayer posture that he was praying. And it was as if the Lord said to me, if my people who are called by my name, and for a man, and I don't know that there was a 2-hour wait to get in that restaurant last night. I don't, there was people everywhere. He absolutely could care less about anybody's opinion. And I'm praying for that kind of boldness. That kind of commitment and separation into the kingdom of God. Amen? That we are quick to pray, quick to love, quick to forgive. That we release the power of the Holy Spirit at any given moment. God can speak through us, to us, and in us. And if you want that kind of Christian life, you want to move that way, say, Holy Spirit, just teach me, show me. Then right now, would you pray with me? All over this room, let's do that. Let's stand and pray. Father in heaven, we come to you now, God, and we say, we are the people of God. We are your expression on the earth. And we ask, Lord, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God, that you would draw your church closer and closer than they've ever been before. Father, that they would, God, be a burden, Lord, around the things of the Spirit. That we would, oh God, leave the things of this world. That we would cut off the entanglements of this age. And we would let go of the besetting sins. And we would begin serving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, God. Father, I just pray for Church on the North Coast that we would become a bright light in this region, a bright light to this age. God, we know that no matter what people are facing today, the opposition that the enemy sent to our life to destroy us, God will turn around and it will promote us. Because we are going to endure. We pledge our allegiance to Jesus. We say, God, you are my King and my Lord and my God. Would you join me right now and make that proclamation? Come on, open up your mouth. Jesus, you are my Lord. Jesus, you are my God. Jesus, I pledge my loyalties to you and to your kingdom. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. One last thing I'd like to do. I'd like for us to pray one for another. Would you cross the aisle and take somebody by the hand? And when you take them by the hand, I want you to realize what you're holding. You are holding the created image of God in your hand. You are holding destiny of eternity in your hand. You are holding God's blueprint from heaven. So now would you pray that they would maximize Jesus in their life? Go ahead and begin praying on your right, pray on your left, that they would be anointed, appointed, that they would operate in the gifts of the Spirit, the power of God, and their lives would never be the same. Thank you, Lord. Use them, Father, for your glory, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it. Amen. What I'd like to do is have people here to pray with you. Altar ministers are going to come and they're going to pray for you. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're a backslider and you need to recommit your life. Maybe you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the speaking of tongues as the evidence. Maybe today you need a prophetic word from the Lord. Maybe God's calling you to join this family. Whatever those things are, we want to pray for you and with you. And that's why we're here. So before you go that way, Holy Spirit leads you, come. If you want to come and worship and kneel and pray, these altars are open. We want you to feel very, very comfortable to do that. Or maybe they're at your seat. And we know that the atmosphere of expectancy is that place where miracles are birthed, right? Amen. So thank you for being here this morning. And don't forget Thursday night, we have a marriage class. We also have a class on a relationship with God. And I think those are the two, right? Yeah. So we want you to be a part of that Royal Rangers, the Missionettes program, or Brides program, rather. Bring your children, your youth program, bring your kids. Let's come to the house of the Lord on a regular basis, all right? Well, live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Love you.